I'm going to look today at our homes. So many people were concerned with the red warning storm, apparently the worst one in 80 years that we've had. A lot of people were up all night, including my poor beloved wife. She has to do it because I just fall asleep. Honestly, I don't hear a thing and I just have a good night's sleep and I get up and I face in the morning. But my poor beloved wife is up. Many people were up. A lot of people lost power. Some people lost something off the roof. It's not nice, is it? However, your home and my home is very important. It's a place where we have physical shelter, emotional shelter, mental shelter. It really should be our sanctuary. So I want to look at your home and my home, but I want to look at what we can learn from Jesus Christ, because he had another home, a second home. It wasn't a holiday home in Caesarea by the beach, but he, no, not in France either, known as Gaul at the time. No, it was a different thing. So we can see that Jesus had another home. And you know, I imagine most people know, that Jesus' main home was Nazareth. Yes, for the first 2 years of his life, he lived as a refugee in Egypt. But from age 2 until about age 30, he lived in Nazareth. However, Jesus left Nazareth, and we want to see why. So I pray God's word would bless you today. Bless everyone watching on YouTube, podcast listening, Facebook and Instagram. Feed our souls, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Why did Jesus leave Nazareth? Most people here have moved home at some stage, but maybe not. Anyone here never move home? Has anyone here always lived where you've lived?
I do.
Okay, we've one hand, I think. So most of us have had to move home at some stage. Many have moved country, some have moved continent, some of us have moved from one part of the city to the other, or just outside the city. But we usually move because we're moving out of our parents' house, we're getting married, let's say, or we need a bigger place or a smaller place, we need to move near to work or whatever. But why did Jesus leave Nazareth? Scripture is very informative, and I believe you and I can learn a lot from it. So part of it was familiarity breeds contempt. They looked down on Jesus because they knew all his family. And they kind of thought, who's he? And Jesus said, prophet is never accepted in his hometown. And I can remember when I became a Christian, and I say it with total respect, if you had an American accent, God was with you. If you had an Irish accent, you were nothing. It's really shallow, isn't it? But sometimes people reject you if you're from a certain place. Never let anyone reject you for something as stupid as that, amen? So we get a little bit deeper when we read this verse, Mark 6, 3 to 7. The people of Nazareth took offense at Jesus, so he did no miracles there, except for a few healings. He was amazed at their unbelief, so Jesus left that place. First of all, they took offense easy in Nazareth. If you're around with someone who keeps taking offense at you, there's probably something wrong with one of you, and it's probably with the person taking offense. If someone continuously is taking offense, there's something wrong. Not only did they constantly take offense, they were cynical. They were constantly throwing, the Irish saying, throwing cold water on something. A cough on Ishkafora, throwing cold water on stuff. And so Jesus didn't have a good spiritual atmosphere to work. Jesus Christ was only ever amazed at two things, lack of faith and faith. When someone went the extra mile with their faith, Jesus was amazed at them. Jesus rewarded that. But people who had no faith, he was amazed at them. It's like, why not? Do you not realize, I speak to someone here, do you not realize you're closing a door on blessings because you won't have faith? God is able to do miracles.
Yeah.
What way do you want to go through life? Being a cynical, no good person, just constantly criticizing? Or do you want to believe that God can do something in your life?
Yeah.
amazed at their unbelief. So Jesus will not hang around with people who have no faith. So he wouldn't do miracles there, and he left that place. Just a word on this before I go on. It's very easy to get into a faith circle. It can be a vicious faith circle like Nazareth, or a virtuous faith circle, as we're going to see in a moment. Vicious faith circle is where you're cynical, you take offense easy, and you kind of really don't believe God can do it. And if you're going to pray, you'll only say half a prayer and kind of doubt it. And then nothing much will happen, and you'll get harder again in your faith. You'll get even more cynical in your faith. God is looking on at you, and the Lord will go, what am I moving in that guy's life for? He just has no faith. And so you get into a vicious circle. The opposite is also true. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A virtuous faith circle, whereby we have a little bit of faith, we pray with a good heart to God, and God answers our prayer. And like a muscle, if you're in the gym, you work up the muscle, it gets a bit stronger, your faith is stronger, you pray for a little bit more next time, with a little bit more faith, God responds. It's not that God always responds, I'm not simplifying it to that degree, but by and large, he does. And so you get into a virtuous or a blessed faith circle. So Jesus leaves the vicious faith circle. His life was 33 years. He had 3 years to do ministry, maybe 3.5. And Jesus' attitude was, why am I staying with those people? Why are you hanging out with people like that? Why am I hanging out with people who just tear down everything, criticize everything, have no faith? Life is too short, brothers and sisters. So he left geographically that place. We're told in Matthew 4, Jesus left Nazareth, and he went to live in a town called Capernaum. And he made that his base, by the way, for the next 3 years. It was by the Sea of Galilee, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. And Isaiah, long before Jesus was born, had prophesied that such a thing would take place, and that the Messiah would be up in that part of Galilee. Now, I can see it in everyone's faces. There's really only one thing you came here today for. I can see you had a bad weekend with storms and rain and maybe no electricity and all of that. And you just were hoping there's one thing that would cheer you up today, and that's a map. Isn't that true?
Yes.
I know you were all saying, if only Tom would throw up a map, it'll just make my week. The storms can come, but if I have a map on a Sunday, I can face anything.
Yeah. Amen.
All right, so this is not a great map. It's the best I could find, but it does tell you. So if you're looking over here, you can see Jesus was in Nazareth down in this corner, and he traveled through Cana and right up to the top there. Don't know if you can see it, but Capernaum, the Americans call it Capernaum, but in Ireland we say Capernaum. So he went to Capernaum right up on the Sea of Galilee. A number of years ago I did a study called Galilee Genetics. We looked at how the people of Galilee had a different heart, a different subculture, if you will. There was faith in Galilee. Yes, they were screwed up like most people, but there was more faith there than Nazareth. And so Jesus based himself in a triangle up there by Capernaum, and he did most of the miracles, most of his teachings, the Beatitudes, all of that, up in that place. It became his second home. It became his new home. He left his mother and his brothers and his sisters back in Nazareth, and he went with his disciples and he lived in that place. He would have gone down to Jerusalem probably about 3 times a year for the major festivals, but most of the time he was around Galilee. The scripture goes on about Jesus moving, or the Messiah moving. The prophet Isaiah prophesied in that prophecy, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. For those who are living in that place, under a shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. This is a scripture that is often read or sung at Christmas, praise God. But there is no part of the Bible that is typecast into only one time of the year. God's word is for the whole year. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
And the fact that Jesus Christ coming in can pierce the shadow of death in your family, in your home, in your experience, that holds true in January just as much as it does in Christmas time.
Amen.
It's all year long. That's the God we have. And so this is the promise that we see. Jesus brings light to the darkness in our homes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Some of us are living, maybe you're the only Christian in your family. Or maybe you're mixed. Maybe it's all believers. I don't know. But some of us know what it's like to have the darkness in our home. And the God of the Bible, and his name is Jesus, brings light to your home and light to my home. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Jesus moved up to Capernaum. And it's not that he would have bought a house. He didn't go to the local solicitor or whatever. What probably happened in that culture was that someone who had faith up there would have given him the use of a house, a humble house, and he used that as a base. But it wasn't, this is my home now, I'm locking the door. We have a family member who just goes, I'm not going to answer that door for a week because I need me time. You didn't really, yeah, we all need me time, but Jesus didn't lock the door. Jesus went into the house, and the house was used to bless others. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bless himself, he had to look after himself as well, but it was used to bless others. And so we see, he wasn't there that long, and a hole ended up in his roof. Did anybody lose tiles or slates off their roof in the storm? John O'Driscoll did. Have you got a hole in the roof?
Yeah, with the PVC roof.
Oh no, and is the rain coming in?
Chimney top came straight down, smashed straight through.
Oh no. It happened to me about 10 years ago in a very bad storm, and for about a month we had rain coming in. It's not a nice feeling having a hole in your roof. Anybody else lose anything from the roof? Janie, John, you and me are the only people blessed here, boy. Hallelujah. Jesus had a hole in his roof. Many of you will know this, but if you don't, this happened and it didn't really bother him. In fact, he was greatly encouraged. What a brilliant attitude. Yes, he wasn't married and he didn't have kids. I know that makes a difference. But I do think that the heart of the Lord about his home tells us a lot. If you're listening on podcast, we're going to look at Luke 5, 18 to 20. And we're told, some men brought their paralyzed friend to be healed by Jesus, but they couldn't bring him in to the house due to the crowds. So they went up and dug a hole in the roof and they lowered their friends down to Jesus. They came to the meeting and they couldn't get in. So they all got social anxiety and went home and got more depressed. No. They came and they couldn't get in and they just said, okay, God wants us to go another way here. And so most of those houses would have had steps at the gable end of the wall, and they went up the steps and went up to the roof and they dug a hole in the roof. Hallelujah. What a mess. Can you imagine the creepy crawlies and the bits of straw and the muck and the earth and all falling down? No bother. They dug a hole in the roof and Jesus said, how dare you get out of my house? This is my place. No, he didn't. We're told Jesus saw their faith and he said to the man, your sins are forgiven, and the man was healed.
Amen.
Jesus was blessed. He was encouraged. He was delighted to see their faith because these guys went the extra mile to see their friend healed. I challenge you and I challenge myself, are you an extra mile person? If you have someone you love and they're sick, would you not tear a hole in the roof? Not literally, but metaphorically. Who would say yes?
Yes.
Anyone else say yes down the back?
Yes.
Let's be that kind of a friend. Let's go the extra mile. Because Jesus is delighted when he sees that news. And you know what? They wouldn't have dug a hole in the roof if they didn't think he was going to be healed. So what did Jesus meet there? He met faith. Not like the crowd down the road in Nazareth who were full of cynicism and cold water. No, he saw men and women who would go the extra mile and who wanted to do something. So Jesus' house was a house of healing. Jesus' house was a house of faith. And that's what we see. Here's the great news. Here's the blessing. Jesus constantly visited people's homes in the Bible. Now, if you're listening on podcast, up on the screen, we've got a terrace known as the Deck of Cards in Cove. It's just on the hill near the cathedral down the road there. And they're all different colours, very pretty. Jesus didn't go to Cove, okay, just in case you're wondering. But where he was, he went in to people's homes. While he may not have physically gone to Cove, if you live in Cove, he'll visit your home there.
Amen.
And he'll go to Ballincollig. And he'll go up to Churchfield.
Amen.
And he'll go down to Douglas.
Amen.
And over to Passage West. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you believe it? He goes up to Mallow.
Amen.
He even goes to Carrigaline. I've been looking at this all week, and honestly, one of the hardest things I had to do was exclude so much from this talk today, this word. Because there are so many homes Jesus went to, and he brought different things to the homes. It's very interesting. It's like there was one big need in every family. One big issue in every home. It's like us as human beings. Most of us are good in many ways, but there's usually one issue. And Jesus goes into all these different homes, sees the need, and he brings and supplies the need in that home. For example, just up the road from Nazareth, Jesus was invited into a home. The next village to Nazareth was called Cana, and they were probably relatives of Jesus, and some people reduce, it's called reductionism in theology, they reduce the scripture to a very shallow interpretation of it. And this scripture is how Jesus bought joy in Cana. So he bought joy to that home. There was a wedding there. It's John chapter 2. Jesus is invited in. The miracle is he turns water into wine. And some people stop there and they go, hey, we can drink all the alcohol we want. It's not about alcohol. Wine is symbolic of joy. So Jesus brought joy to the home. At the 10 o'clock, there were so many people here who put up their hand because they wanted joy in their home. And maybe you need joy in your home. I will never, to the day I die, stop saying, the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
If you haven't got the joy, brothers and sisters, you're like a bird trying to fly with one wing. You're like someone with one leg trying to walk. I need the joy, you need the joy. It's not happiness. It's not, hey, I've loads of money, I'm happy. That's not what we're talking about. It's way deeper than happiness. It's not circumstantial. It's reality. Because God is for you, not against you. Whatever you face, you've got the joy. So Jesus brought joy to that home. We're going to pray, if your home needs joy, that you have joy in your home. Praise God. Then we read that Peter invited Jesus into his home. Peter is following Jesus. Sometimes we can think, well, this is just for people who don't know the Lord. This is for Christians. This is for believers. Peter was one of the main followers of Jesus, but he had a need in his home. Now, if he was from Cork, I tell you what Peter would have done. Jesus would have said to Peter, how's it going at home, Peter? And Peter would say, marvelous, wonderful. And Jesus would say, everyone is in good health? Absolutely. That's what Cork people do. It's what Irish people do. We lie through our teeth about stuff like that. That's our culture in Ireland. We never admit a failure or an issue. Do you know what? I'm all for Irish culture, but we need to dump that rubbish. We'll say amen.
Amen.
We need to be honest. Peter says to Jesus, my mother-in-law is really sick. Will you come into my home and pray with her? He could have been proud and he could have said, we have no problems. And his mother-in-law would probably be dead. But he had a humble heart. And he said, Jesus, I need you to move in my home. So he invites Jesus into his home, and at Peter's house, Jesus stood by Peter's mother-in-law. Families tended to live together then, the wider family, and he rebuked the high fever that she had. Immediately, it left her, and she began to serve Jesus. It's so interesting here. Peter obviously loved his mother-in-law. I love my mother-in-law. Our mothers-in-law may not always be the easiest person to get on with, but you've got to love your family. You've got to love your family. Is it easy? Not always. But you've got to love your family. One of the wonderful Christian traditions that has come down over thousands of years is John the Beloved, who loved Jesus. That guy just oozed love, even when he was only a teenager. He was only 16 or 17, and he was one of the 12, and he just loved Jesus, and Jesus loved him. It is said in church history, when he was a very old man, having worked in the salt mines as a prisoner, that the younger men of the church would have to carry the Apostle John around on a stretcher, and every time they picked him up, he would say, "Brothers, love one another." And they go, "Okay, yeah, I said that yesterday, thanks, John." And he kept saying it. And the tradition is, the young men one day were tired of him saying that, and they said, "John, why are you always saying we have to love one another?" You know what his answer was? "Because you have to love one another." You have to love one another. Isn't it interesting? She had a high fever, but it doesn't say that Jesus healed her. It says he rebuked it. Sometimes, our physical illness has a spiritual root. Jesus didn't heal her. The word there that's used in Koine Greek is the same word of casting an evil spirit out of someone. So Jesus rebuked the evil spirit. It was a spiritual attack. And because Peter had the humility and the vulnerability and the honesty to invite Jesus into his home with a problem, his mother-in-law was delivered. And look at her reaction. Straight away, she starts to serve Jesus. I don't know what they did in that culture. She didn't say, "Will you have a cup of Barry's tea now or a cup of Lion's tea? Come on now and get the cake and cut it." I don't know what she did, but she served Jesus. That was her reaction. I believe God is speaking prophetically to someone. There is an illness in your home. Maybe it's you or someone in your family. And the Lord is saying the root is not physical, it's spiritual. If you say to the Lord, "Lord, if you deliver yourself or that person from that illness," I'm prophesying this. If you promise the Lord that you will serve him in a way you haven't done before, God is going to answer your prayer today. Amen. Does that feel like a deal? Do I sound like Donald Trump? I don't care. Sometimes we've got to say, "Lord," and we read it in the Bible. I was reading in Hannah recently, who couldn't have any children. And she made a vow to the Lord, "If I can become pregnant, I will give my son to serve the Lord." It's okay to pray that sometimes. So if there is an illness, and you know there's a spiritual fingerprint on it, say to the Lord today, say it this afternoon when you go home, "Lord, I will serve you in a way I never had before." If you answer that prayer, let me tell you, he'll answer that prayer. He will set the one you love free. Amen. Have faith. This is what happened in Peter's home. On a general level, is there healing needed in your home? We're going to pray for that in a second. What about Jesus going into the guys from Emmaus? He went into their home. We read it in Luke 24, 29 to 31. The two who walked with Jesus on the Emmaus road urged him to come into the house with them. When Jesus was with them at the table, he took the bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Immediately their eyes were opened and they recognized him. If you're not familiar with the story, Jesus had risen from the dead, but he hadn't ascended to heaven. The two guys from Emmaus were depressed. They were disillusioned in their faith. You know the story, they were leaving Jerusalem where the Lord had told them to wait, and they're walking in the other direction. And even though they're walking away from the Lord, maybe that's someone here, even though they're disillusioned in their faith and they're really weak, and maybe that's you this morning, Jesus walked with them, but they didn't see him. But when they invited him into the home, and when he took the bread, they had a revelation of Jesus. It changed everything, and they turned direction, and they went back to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Some of us need this in our homes. We need a revelation of Jesus in a fresh way. These guys were followers of Jesus, but they had lost their way. It happens. Invite Jesus into your home, brothers and sisters. Some of us need to pray for a revelation. Eyes wide open, they saw Jesus in their home. When is the last time you can say that in your home, you really knew Jesus was there? Sometimes I walk into a home and the presence of God is tangible. Other times I walk into a home and it's not the presence of God I sense. I sense a dark sense in there. Brothers and sisters, we want what's best for us and our families. Amen? We want God's presence in our homes. We'll pray that in a moment. Here's another example, wisdom. Martha was the oldest of three siblings. She had a brother Lazarus and a sister Mary. Parents were probably dead. They lived in a place called Bethany, which was on the outskirts of Jerusalem. And they would have been a similar age, we think, to Jesus. So Jesus became very good friends with them. And they were close. So when he went down to Jerusalem, he would visit them. He'd hang out with them. And many of you know the story. In Luke 10, 38 to 40, Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. She began preparing a meal, but her sister Mary, she just sat and listened to Jesus. Martha goes to Jesus and she said, "Lord, would you tell my sister to help me?" she said. Jesus replied to her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but just one thing is important. Mary has chosen this, and it won't be taken away from her." I'm going to ask for people to be courageous right now. Some of us are anxious and troubled about many things. Isn't it interesting? Jesus wasn't talking about the dinner or the sandwich or whatever she was making. That wasn't the issue. The issue was that Martha was in such a place on her walk, in her experience, that she was full of anxiety and troubles. The weight of the world was on her shoulders. And Jesus brought wisdom and he brought a word of knowledge and wisdom right into her situation. Why? Because she welcomed Jesus into her home. I want to speak to some people who love the Lord this morning. And this has happened to many people and I was there myself. You are anxious this morning. And you're troubled by many things. We're going to pray right now that your anxiety goes and that your troubled mind finds peace. You know why? Because you're going to sit at the feet of Jesus in your home. I'm going to ask you to be really brave. If that's you this morning, we've quite a lot at the 10, would you put up your hand? Just be honest on it. That's okay. That's okay. Whoa. Praise God. God lifts up the humble. He resists the proud. Are you okay with standing, guys? Would you stand and just lift your hands where you are? If you're sitting near any of these guys and you know them, you can walk over to them. Let's just stand in prayer with them. You know, most of us know what it's like to have an anxious mind, troubled with the troubles of life. I'm going to pray that Jesus comes into your home and he takes away the anxiety and the trouble. Are you ready to pray? In the name of Jesus, for every man and woman that has stood here, into their minds, into their experience, into your home, we pray Jesus' words of wisdom would minister to your heart.
Amen.
I declare, and this is really strong in my soul, I declare and I prophesy over your lives the shalom peace of God into your mind and into your emotions. I pray that the living God would give you a revelation, would give you a word of knowledge, and you would be able to be like Mary in your home and not like Martha. That you would leave all those troubled things, all those anxieties with Jesus, and you would just hear the voice of the Savior speaking to your life. We pray that wouldn't happen next week. We pray it would happen today and tonight. Come, Lord Jesus, and come into each home represented by the people praying here. We pray in Jesus' name. And with faith, the people of God said,
amen.
With a little bit more faith, they said,
amen.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Let's take our seats, guys. I could talk forever on this, but I'm not going to. I'm only going to speak for another few minutes. Jesus went into some homes and he bought provision. People physically needed stuff. He brought a blessing everywhere he went. Look at how he went to Matthew's house, and that house needed repentance. It was the prostitutes. It was the tax collectors, not nice guys. Jesus went in there and he bought repentance. Zacchaeus' house needed salvation. Simon's house, we had the beautiful anointing taking place there, even though Simon was a waster, yet because Jesus was there, one of the women there was anointing. And let me conclude with Jairus' house. Jairus' daughter was dead. And he cried out to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He asked Jesus to come into his house. It always begins with you or with me inviting Jesus into the situation. Some Christians forget to pray. Ask the Lord to come into your house. And he asked him to come into his house, but it was too late. The girl was dead, she was only 12. And if you read into it in Luke 8, they had professional mourners around the body. They used to have them in Ireland many years ago, and they were called keeners. It comes from the Irish, a queenuf, which means to cry, and they would be all this kind of stuff, and it was all fake. It was dreadful. They had them in Israel back then as well. And so the professional mourners are there doing their mourning, and Jesus said, be quiet, she's not dead, she's only asleep. And what did they? They laughed at him. What did Jesus do? He put them out of the room. You see, we have the Nazareth thing again, brothers, sisters. Look at it, the Nazareth thing, the low faith environment. Jesus puts them out of the room and he prays for the little girl. Mike preached about it a few months ago, and he said, Talitha kum, little girl, rise up. And the dead girl rose to life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have people in your home who are low in faith, maybe they have no faith, sometimes you got to put them out of the room. He didn't put them out of the house, put them out of the room. Get them out of the room of your head. Would you say amen? Get them out of the room of your heart. Don't let them emotionally influence you. You see, if there's five people in the house and one is a Christian and four aren't, and let's say something comes up on TV or on the screen and it's a Christian and the other four start laughing, that's a hard place to be. Protect your soul, protect your mind, and protect your emotions. He put them out. If Jesus left the low faith environment, and we see it again and again, it's okay for you to leave the low faith environment. If the rest of the family aren't Christian, encourage yourself in the Lord. It doesn't mean you become a hermit, but you don't let them influence you, brothers and sisters. So where there was a dead girl, Jesus brought it to all the converted here from the point of view of which one of us doesn't want Jesus in our home. Even if you're new here, I'm sure the fact that you've come here, you want Jesus Christ in your home. Because where he goes, he brings blessing. He brings salvation. He brings peace in our heads and in our hearts. He brings healing. He brings life. He brings wisdom. He brings revelation. He opens our eyes to see what's going on. I don't know what your home needs, but I think most homes here, we've got a lot of good things happening. But if I'm any judge of the last 45 years as a Christian, I know that most homes are also lacking something. And so maybe your home needs joy because it's not there. Or you need repentance in the home, anointing, healing, wisdom, light, salvation. You know what your home needs. Brothers and sisters, we're still in January, and as we look into a whole new year ahead, my prayer is Jesus comes to where we live. Amen. And we know the presence of God in our kitchens. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And built a kitchen is only for making. No, we need the presence of God with us. In the kitchen, we'll say amen. In the sitting room. In the bedroom. In the garden. In your car. Some of the most anointed times I've had is when I was driving. And the presence of God came upon me. I know it did. The Holy Spirit came upon me. I know it because the same physical things happen. I start to weep, and I don't weep at all normally. I start to weep, my heart goes faster. I mean, I must look like an idiot, like if someone was looking in the car. Sometimes I've just had to pull over and just bask in God's presence. Just let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. Brothers and sisters, we need Jesus in our homes. Jesus wants to call to your home. I'm sure for so many, he's already been to our homes. But you know what? We need to invite him back again. And it's not just you as an individual. Peter was next to Jesus all day. He still needed to invite Jesus back to his home because there was people in his home who needed the touch of Jesus. How many here would say, there are people in my home that need the touch of Jesus? Amen. If you could say that's true in your home, would you lift your hand? Just identify it to the Lord. Praise God if that's not your situation. But I would say 2/3 of us here, it is our situation. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray for those of us who've never had Jesus that close. Then we're going to pray for those who need healing in your home, joy in your home, revelation. You need life in your home. You need salvation in your home. Could the band come up? We're going to sing a song. What's the name? Firm Foundation. And I love the line in Firm Foundation. I think it's so apt for the weekend we're in. The weekend we're in, we've had storms constantly. And I love how the Bible talks about when our faith is built on the rock, not on shifting sand. If we build our house on shifting sand, any wind will blow it away. You need a foundation to have your home built. And I love the line in the song, my house is built on you. How about your house? Maybe you've only moved to a new house and you're the only Christian there. You will bring a blessing to where you live. Because if you love God, you bring a blessing with you. Hallelujah. If Jesus is in your heart, you bring the Lord with you. And that will bless your housemates. Hallelujah. Bless your family who may not know the Lord. Will we stand? We're going to sing Firm Foundation. And then we're going to pray. Michael.
Rains came, but my house was built on you.
And the song was called, I Love That Man from Galilee. Jesus decided to move to Galilee That was his other home, because the people in Galilee had a bit more faith. As I look around this hall, with a couple of hundred people in it, I know there's such great faith in this place. You are the Galilee people. Amen? You are Galilee people. You're not Nazareth people. You wouldn't be here if you were Nazareth. You're Galilee. So I want to ask you this morning, is there a need in your home? Do you need to see salvation in your home? Healing, joy, wisdom, revelation. You need an anointing. Any of these things, you need provision. If that's your home and you want to pray for that, would you lift your hand up to the Lord? I see an ocean of hands up. Praise God. I'm going to call you to come and join me at the top in just a moment. But before I do, I'm going to ask that everyone close their eyes on stage and off stage. I can just see shadows. We just take down our hands for a moment. If you have never known Jesus in this way, if this concept of Jesus is quite new to you, I want to give you the opportunity to invite Jesus Christ into your heart, that you would be saved, you'd say amen, that you would be born again, and that you would know the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Or if you've drifted away from God and you know this morning you want to come back to Him, God will restore you. But I want to give you the opportunity in total privacy to call on the Lord in that way. So with nobody looking, if that's you, could you lift up your hand just for a moment? Okay. Yeah. I see your hands. And I see your hand down the back as well. And I see your hands. Okay, I think we have five people. I'm going to ask you that we would all pray this prayer together before we pray for our homes. Let's pray in solidarity, but particularly those five people. Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sins. Be my leader. Be my savior. Be my best friend. I want to follow you all the days of my life. Lord, help me now not to fall away from you. I am deciding to follow Jesus. No turning back. I do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give those five guys a round of applause? A Bible, we would love to give you a gift of a free Bible. It's called Street Lights. It's written in the language of the street, so it's not hard. And if you're not a reader, there are QR codes in it that you can scan and you can hear the Bible rather than having to read it. And if you want to go next step, we also have a booklet called New Christians, and it's the next steps that you take as a new Christian. So you can see myself or Mike afterwards. We'd love to pass it on to you if you'd like to see us. Many of us put up our hand for our homes before the first month of the year is gone. Can I ask you to put up your hand again if you put up your hand earlier for your home? Take a step of faith and walk up to the top. We want to pray for your home today. As Mike and the band just sing the song, take a step of faith. It's good for your soul to physically move when you're spiritually moving. In your family that you love right now. Jesus loves them even more than you do. For the faces going before my brothers and sisters' eyes, for the names that are whispered to our God in heaven, would you visit these homes? We open the door now and we pray salvation into our homes. We pray restoration, if that's needed, into our homes. Would you send your spirit upon the people we're praying for now? We know you are a God of family salvation. So whether it's our family or our housemates, come into our homes. The door is open now. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The Lord said in the book of Revelation to Christians, I stand at the door and knock. And God is saying to some of us here, I've been knocking, and you coming up here today is you opening the door. Have faith and believe God is going to move. Have faith. Amen. Who needs healing in their home? There's healing needed in your home. Just keep your hand up. The Spirit of God, I pray, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, that your Holy Spirit would come into these homes. Jesus, would you come through the front door? Lord, would you do what you did with Peter's home? Would you rebuke the illness in our homes, oh God? Rebuke this sickness in the body or in the mind or in the soul. And I pray healing in Jesus' name. Come into each home represented here. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of us need wisdom. Some of us need peace in our homes. Some of us need a revelation of God in our homes. Some of us need wisdom in our families, in our relationships, in our homes to make decisions. If you are any of those different needs, I'm going to ask you to lift up your right hand. Into your home, wisdom, 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 wisdom. That will change your life, that will bless your future, that 25 will be a year of blessing because of wisdom, because of a word of knowledge, just like Jesus spoke to Martha. Into your home, I pray wisdom, I pray provision, I pray the blessing of God, I pray the need in your home would be met this year. Jesus, every one of us praying here opens the front door wide and we say, welcome Lord Jesus into our home. I have a prophetic word. I didn't have it at the last gathering, and this is it. I saw a home and the light was shining in the home, but there was a bedroom, one bedroom, and there was a dark shadow in that bedroom. And I don't know, is it an addiction or is it severe depression? But God wants to shine his light in the darkness, just as he did when he moved to Capernaum. Maybe we'll all close our eyes just to give a bit of privacy. If in your home there is one place, maybe it's one member, and there's an addiction there, or there's suicide or depression there, would you lift up your right hand? No one is looking. Come, Holy Spirit, into these homes. Let the light of Jesus shine in the darkness, in that room, in that person. I rebuke the devil. I pray life and not death. Let the experience of Jairus and his daughter be in your home. And right now, God, we put out the cynic and the professional mourners who are saying it's too late. It's not too late, because Jesus is in the house. I pray life into that room, and may the light of God pierce that darkness. In Jesus' mighty name, and one more time, God's people said, praise God. As we go back to our seats, let's sing this one last time before we close. Let it be an anthem for the whole year ahead. Michael.
Christ is my firm foundation, oh, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaken. Oh, I've never been more glad, but I put my faith in Jesus.
able to pray, you raise your hands wherever you are in the room. Lord, whatever rain comes, whatever wind blows over our lives in this coming week, we declare we're standing solid in the rock that is Jesus. Lord, we pray that your blessing and your favor would rest upon your people. In their getting up and their lying down, in their coming and their going, in their working and their resting and their playing and their praying, in everything they do, may they know your favor and your presence. We pray this simply in Jesus' mighty name, and God's people say,
amen.